to you for those 12 months? Because you are coming back. Right. It is indeed good to be here tonight. If you've been here previously, you're probably aware that over the last few evening services, we've been looking at songs that we sing, the message behind them, the story behind them, the verses behind them. And some of the songs that we've looked at have been very famous, well known, and are favourites of many of us here. So tonight we're going to look at another song, the story behind it and the scriptures behind the song as well. Now with some of the songs that we've looked at, and some of the songs we sing here at the Yank, you might scratch your head a bit and think, I'm not too sure if there is any scripture in there or where the scripture references come from. But the song that we're going to look at tonight is a bit easier to work out where the scripture reference from, because it's in the title, Psalm 23. And there's not much mistaking about whether it's scripture or not, because the words are pretty much lifted directly from the Bible. So that's Psalm 23. The arrangement that we sing here at the Anchor at the moment is by a duo or a group called Shane and Shane. And they are, as you might have guessed, a couple of guys called Shane and Shane. Their names are Shane Bernard and Shane Everett, and they're from Texas in America. And they have headed up a project called the Worship Initiative. And the Worship Initiative is based around helping musicians and worship leaders praise and worship God and lead the local church into praise and worship as well. So as I said, Psalm 23, it basically lifts words directly from the Bible, from Psalm 23. And it does so because the Psalms are very important to us. Psalms are important to the Hebrew people and the Jewish faith. And Psalms are also important to us as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. The book of Psalms is fairly unique in all of Scripture in that it is a book full of prayers. And it doesn't deal as its primary focus with doctrine, although you can find doctrine in there. It's more dealing with emotions. We can see many instances throughout the Psalms where the writers of the Psalms are laying their hearts out before God. We can think of many times where their heart is crying to God and the emotions that come with that. But sometimes I think, and just sometimes, not all the time, maybe in the modern church, we don't hold the Psalms in as high a regard as maybe we should. Because maybe they're not so heavy on doctrine, so maybe they're a bit light. Maybe we think, oh, here we go, another Psalm being read out. But I know that one of my favourite theologians, one of my favourite teachers and writers, was a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he really stressed the importance of the Psalms for Christian life. If you don't know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, he was a pastor and a theologian in Nazi Germany. And he was doing his work as the Nazis came to power. And as time went by, he became a thorn in the side of the Nazis because he did not back down. He did not back down from his beliefs, and shortly before the end of World War II, he was hung by the Nazis for his beliefs. Now, while he was living in the middle of Nazi Germany, he wrote a book called Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible. Now, think about that for a second and ask yourself, why did Dietrich do this? He's in the middle of a very anti-Semitic Nazi Germany. And while most people were trying to shy away from getting attention from the Nazis, he writes a book stressing the importance of Hebrew scriptures, in particular the Psalms. Now, obviously, he thought that the Psalms were very important. He was initially fined for writing his book, although that was withdrawn. And then, as I said, he lost his life later on. Not specifically for the book, but for things like this. He was willing to put his life on the line for the Psalms, for writing a book about the Psalms. To quote one line from him, he says, "Wherever the Psalter or the Psalms is abandoned, an incomparable treasure is lost to the Christian church." And he writes, "With its recovery will come unexpected power." So the Psalms are very important to us. And the importance of the Psalms is seen by others as well. It's seen by composers such as Shane and Shane. They have been very much heavy on the Psalms in their music, and they've released two albums, Volume 1, called The Psalms Volume 1 and The Psalms Volume 2. And they are basically Psalms and arranged for the churches to sing. Psalm 23 is one of those songs that we sing here. And it's probably one of the most famous psalms in the Bible. And this psalm is a favourite of many, and there's a very good reason for that, yeah? I'm sure that many of you know Psalm 23. And I think the reason for that is it speaks to us in so many different times of our lives. When life is going good, the psalm speaks to us. When life is really tough and it's not going good, the psalm also speaks to us. It has comforted people down through the ages and is treasured by many. But sometimes I think what happens when you know a psalm or a passage of scripture that well, it becomes what one of the Shanes calls it. He calls it a coffee cup scripture. And what he means by that is the psalm is often printed on, or verses from the psalm are often printed on coffee cups, or they're printed on pictures that you can put on the wall. And this is good because it reminds us of the psalm a lot. But at the same time, sometimes we become a bit glib about the meaning of the words that we see on the coffee cup or that we see hanging on the wall. It's like, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, I know that one. I think I know what it means. But it doesn't really sit with us. As Shane says, the full weight of the words don't really sit with us, as they don't really reach right down into our hearts and into our minds. So as I thought of that, I thought, mate, what are some of the ways we could make Psalm 23 less of a coffee cup scripture psalm and more of a psalm that the weight of it percolates deeper, to use a coffee pun? How can we make Psalm 23 percolate into our minds and our hearts and our lives? How can we feel the full weight of these words? Well, the first way is to refresh our view of the psalm. And we know it very well, and we may know the words very well. But one thing I like about the arrangement of Psalm 23 by Shane and Shane is that it does that very thing for us. It refreshes our view of Psalm 23. When we sing it with a different arrangement, the words are new. It immediately refreshes the psalm, and we have a chance to look at it a different way. We have a chance to revisit it, to meditate on the words, and be able to work them deeper into our minds and into our hearts. Secondly, I think another way to fully feel the weight of Psalm 23 is to meditate on it. When things become too familiar, I think we need to stop and really think about the words. We need to think about their meaning and their context in our lives. I know that in my life, there was one particularly tough time I was going through, and Psalm 23 became a constant companion. It was on constant playback in my mind, and I came to know it very well. Before that time, Psalm 23 was a coffee cup scripture. I'd seen it on the wall in my grandmother's house. After that time in my life, the words of the psalm sat much weightier in my mind. Thirdly, with psalms like Psalm 23, they're talking about tough times in life. And sometimes it's hard to experience the full effect of verses from Psalm 23 and scriptures like that if we haven't experienced the tough times in our lives as well. As one pastor put it, much of the Bible will not make sense until we feel the brevity, fragility, and gravity of life. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never be able to appreciate Psalm 23 if you haven't been through tough times in life. But these psalms do speak to us, particularly more so in the tough times and as we experience the rough times. As we all do, and as we all will, but we can put more context around the psalm and what it's saying to us. For instance, David, he was at times in the middle of a war. He was running from people trying to kill him. Now, most of us likely aren't in that situation right now. I know that right now no one's trying to kill me, no one I know of. But as Shane puts it, the same God who was in control of the moment in the Psalms, that the danger that David was facing, that same God is in control of your cancer, or your job loss, or your marriage that feels like a wreck. The same God who is a shepherd to David is also the same God who is a shepherd to you and to me. So let's read from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows and leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. So there's three sections I want to take a quick look at tonight. And the first, from the first few verses of Psalm 23. It's a well-known picture of a shepherd looking after their sheep. And in this case, our God is our shepherd looking after us. You might think of the picture of a shepherd and the sheep and think it's quite a familiar picture from our own culture. But the shepherd looking after the sheep in the time of David was slightly different to the sheep we see in the paddocks in the fields today. A shepherd in David's time, and David had experience with being a shepherd before he was the king of Israel, the shepherd was completely and utterly responsible for the life of the sheep that he was protecting. Lions or wolves could attack. He was responsible for finding them food and shelter and for water. And during the day, the sheep weren't just penned in paddocks with fences around. They were wandering across the fields, and the shepherd was responsible for their welfare. And it's just like that with our God, yeah? The Lord is our shepherd. He is responsible for our well-being. And as we wander through life, in the open fields of life, certainly with no fences around us, God is responsible for us. And the Psalm tells us that we can trust in God and that he will provide all that we need. And then there is this picture of us resting in green meadows and beside still waters. The picture for me is one that I love, and it's a picture of somewhere where I can disappear to, a happy place. But recently I was listening to a YouTube video of a Hebrew rabbi speaking about Psalm 23, and he said that the Hebrew behind the verse for resting in green meadows actually talked about sprawling in green meadows, about being completely and utterly relaxed in the green meadow. We can be completely and utterly confident in God's provisions for us. We can be sprawled in his care, utterly confident that he will watch over us. We can be confident that he's also going to renew our strength. In some versions they say, restore my soul. And this is, I think, one of the key points of the psalm. The Lord will restore our souls. I think of many famous Christians down through the ages who've given us examples of their souls being restored while they were at odds with other things in their life. People like Johnny Erickson Tata, who in my younger life was an influence on me. As a young lady, she dived into shallow water, broke her neck and was paralyzed. And that incident in her life completely changed everything for her. She was in a wheelchair from that point on. And it was a time in her life that could have driven her easily away from God. But God was there for her, and he restored her soul, even though her body was broken. We can also think of Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch watchmaker and a Christian, who along with her father and other members helped Jews during the war escape the Nazi Holocaust by hiding them in her closet. Now, after a long life and with many courageous actions, she suffered a number of strokes in her older age. And she would lie in bed meditating on scripture that was hanging on her wall. In her later life, although her body was broken, God was still restoring her soul. And then there's a phrase in the song that just lifted straight from the psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are on my side. With this verse, there's a picture of David walking through valleys, walking through dark ravines, watching out for people who may physically jump him in the middle of the night. Parts of his life he was constantly under attack. And he is saying that he would not be afraid because God is beside him. God had his life in control. And we can think of our own lives and our own dark valleys, our own challenges. And sometimes maybe God seems distant. But here in this psalm, God is saying that he is there. God is close beside us. Our bodies may be broken, our minds under stress, our health may not be the best, but God is there. He is close, and he does comfort us and restore our souls. And then there's the last part of the psalm. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Whereas the song writes that surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days. God's love, his mercy, and his grace will pursue us to the end of our days. God is faithful, and God will do what he says. As we look to the scriptures and God's promises, we can be confident that his mercy and his grace will be there for us. Unlike me, my promises, and Lucy probably can attest to some of the promises I've broken, some of the things I've said that I would do but haven't done. But unlike me, our loving Father, our God, keeps his promises and will not break his promises. He will be there for us, and we can be confident that God's promises are never broken. And finally, as we look back over Psalm 23, and we think of these words that we sing, as Christians, looking back on the psalm from the Hebrew scriptures, we are so blessed that we can see Christ in a lot of what we read and sing about in the psalms. Just there in the picture of the shepherd, we often, looking back in the Old Testament, would think about our Lord being the shepherd. But Jesus Christ is also our shepherd. In John 10, Jesus says this, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." So there we have a picture of Jesus Christ being the good shepherd that we read about in Psalm 23. He restores the frightened, he heals the broken, the wounded, and comforts and guides us through life. We can also look to a triumphant king and Lord. And as in Revelation, we read about him being a comforting shepherd, but also a conquering hero. From Revelation chapter 7, "He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I really love how God does stuff that seems contradictory to us. He kind of turns upside down our conceptions of what things should be. It doesn't really fit that a shepherd would be a conquering hero. And yet our God is a caring shepherd who cares for us at the same time as being a victorious king and Lord. So in conclusion tonight, I'd just like to challenge you all here tonight to use the Psalm 23, as a basis for your meditations this week. Every morning, let's pray this psalm. Let us meditate on it to set the tone of our day. And let's sing the song that we're going to sing now throughout the week. And I pray that we will be able to appreciate the psalm for what it is, and that the words will weigh upon us and percolate into our lives. Let's pray.